We knew we would have a light crowd for this session for two reasons. One is there are about 80-something sessions on accreditation. And the second reason, on Tuesday at this time, as many of you know, there are big section luncheons. And so this time slot's always light, but we're glad you're here, and it will allow us to have some really good conversations with those of you who are in the room. Also, thank you to those of you who are just following us around. So it's nice to have a groupie. Yeah. So for Georgia Heise, who's forward-thinking in the audience, the director of an accredited health department, president-elect of NOCHO, I want to say, I said groupie, not Groupon. So no, there's no coupon for reduction in fees. I love picking on our accredited health department. So I think I know most of you in the room, but for those of you that I haven't met, I'm Kay Bender. I'm president and CEO of the Public Health Accreditation Board. And this is our usual slot to talk about an update on what's going on with the accreditation board. You will actually be the first to hear some things unless you're involved with us about those things. And there are a few committee members in the room. Board members and whatever. So, but as far as an update, there are some things we'll be sharing with you that we've not shared in a presentation before. So we hope you'll enjoy that. So what we plan to do with this time is to give you a pretty in-depth update about FAB's new activities or either activities that we're building on what we've done in the past and doing a little differently. And then we'll move from that into the link with quality improvement. You know, we talk about all the time that at FAB, our goal is really that accreditation is an important increment on a long trajectory for quality improvement. It's an important celebration point. It's an important point to hold health departments accountable for continuing their work and to celebrate the good work they've done. But it is just that, and the real reason that we're working on accreditation is all about QI. So we'll talk about that. And then for those of you who are just in the last session, you'll hear a little bit of some of the same tone about the work that CDC is doing to support accreditation through their programs. Bless you. So, we are not contagious, I will assure you about that. First of all, I want to introduce you. I'm going to do this sort of backwards. I usually introduce our board chair first, but since she's speaking, I'll introduce another member of our board of directors who's in the room, Dr. Rex Archer. Many of you know Rex. He's the health officer for the Kansas City, Missouri Health Department and a member of our board of directors and a member of the accreditation committee. Our first speaker is Carol Morley, who is the current chair of the FAB Board of Directors. Carol, though, in her real life, is the director of the North Central District Public Health Department in Lewiston, Idaho. Gorgeous place to work. Lots of good public health work there to do. Some of you who work for local health departments may have known Carol as a past president of NACHO. She's also been on the NACO Board of Directors and a whole host of a bunch of other things. But we're real pleased to have had Carol on our Board of Directors at FAB and as chair for the last 2 years. Our second speaker is Dr. Les Veitch. He's one of those doctor lawyer people. He's the chair of, to get this now, this is a long title, the chair of Department of Medical Humanities, Social Science, and Health Affairs at Florida State University in Tallahassee. Les is our vice chair of our board of directors and highly likely to be the next chair, although that election's still got to happen, so his performance today will impact that, I'm sure. You all know Dr. Veitch. He was the Deputy Commissioner of Health in Florida, the State Commissioner of Health in Oklahoma, so he's been real at some point in his life. He's also in part of his old stomping grounds here because besides being a physician, he graduated from law school here in the area at Harvard, or as they say here, Harvard. I'm working on that, and probably won't happen before I leave. But Les has done a lot of work in the area of quality improvement, published a lot, been an advisor for the multi-state learning collaborative that Robert Wood Johnson founded that morphed into the community of practice for public health improvement. And we know Les well in the quality improvement world. We've also enjoyed having him as our vice chair of our board. And last but not least, although maybe the shortest, I don't know, is Liza Corso. Liza is with the CDC Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Support. I told the other group, some of you heard this, she is not only our project officer from CDC, but a good partner for FAB, has been with us since FAB was first being discussed, and it wasn't even called FAB yet, and has been a great help to us both in terms of linking what goes on with FAB and what happens with CDC programs, but just giving us overall general good advice. And I know several of you work with her in various capacities. She's been at CDC since 2002, and prior to that worked at NHL. And so some of you may have known her from that capacity as well. Liza will be known in her obituary much later for things that you know about, such as really leading, master leader in the development of the MAP process and the instruments related to the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, and of course FAB as well, and a whole host of a lot of other things that you'll hear about today. I'm going to hush, and I know you'll be glad, and turn it over to Carol now to talk a little bit about FAB. I'm supposed to also tell you that they have no financial relationships to disclose. Liza's barely back to work after the furlough, and Les works for a state supported university, and Carol is a local health officer. So they told me they have no finances, much less relationships to disclose. So Carol, come forward and talk to us about what's new at FAB.
Is this on? So we'll just talk loud.
That also means you don't stay back here if you don't want to.
All right. Okay. So, thank you, and welcome. Thanks for joining us. We do see some common faces, and that's nice to know that you're that engaged and committed to accreditation. So, what we're going to do today for my section is to look at what's going on that's kind of new with public health. These are the objectives that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the number of applicants and the standards and measures. We're about ready to release version 1.5. We have a new requirement for annual reports that will be coming out in 2014. So like Kay said, some cutting edge things that will be new starting with 2014 that the field maybe doesn't already know. We'll touch a little bit on the fees. On our logic model proposed changes that are coming up, the work our think tanks are doing, and then a call to action for each of you. So this is a map as of October 15th. And you can see at the top it says 226 health departments. We're really at 235, is that right? And continuing to grow and change every day. So these are the health departments that are in the EFAB system. We have locals, states, and tribes that you can see recognized. We now have two tribes instead of one, which was noted from the slide that has changed. So the blue are the states that have health departments in process. Lots of blue across the state, across the country. The green are the states that are accredited. There are 19 of them. And the whites that you see there are states that we still have yet to put on the map. Now, Kay did say I'm from Idaho, But we are working on it. So soon to be filling in that color on the state of Idaho map as well. So that's something for us all to be working on. So we do have a few of the locals, the 19. And let me show you who those are. As you look at the list of the 19 that have already received that national recognition of being public health accredited. And Dr. Archer is in the room. His health department is on that list. Georgia Heiss, yes. And Amber, April. See, I carried it right over from, and Terry in the back. Where is Terry? Right back there. Wisconsin. He's here also. Anyone else in the room that's working on accreditation? Nice. Great job. Anyone that sits on a FAB committee? Several. Thank you for that extra effort that you put out to help us with that. And before we sign up, we're going to try to recruit you all for site visitors. So those are our current successes, more shortly to come. The accreditation committee that Dr. Archer is on meets routinely as health departments go through the process so that they can review those applications and make suggestions and recommendations for accreditation. So we'll look for the next release coming soon. So why did these health departments choose to go through accreditation? And we hear this a lot. People say, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? How, you know, is it really, really something that I can do? And is it a value? We are hearing wonderful things from the field as they are working through the process and the wonderful side consequences that they're finding from the working through the accreditation process, but actually then being accredited. It does bring a whole new area of transparency and accountability to that health department, whether it's a state, a tribe, or a local. It's that transparency and accountability that we have as local health officials or state health officials that goes back to our authorities, our policymakers, but to our citizens in general, for everyone to know that public health is actually accredited where you're working. It also, if you look around, almost everyone, lots of people are accredited. Fires are accredited, the hospitals are accredited, schools are accredited, child care centers, police departments, the list goes on and on and on of those that are accredited. Any of you riding the shuttle bus back and forth to hotels? Yesterday when I was on one, and I go a different route every time, it's kind of interesting. But yesterday on the way back to the hotel, we were stopped at a stop line and I looked down and there was a garbage can with a big sign on it promoting something. And I read it. There's this nice looking young lady and it was from the Boston Better Business Bureau. And it said, with accreditation comes trust, with trust comes customers. It was on a garbage sign. I mean, and then it had Boston Better Business Bureau right at the bottom of it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, even the Better Business Bureau goes through an accreditation. Public health needs to be accredited. I thought it was awesome. So, side note there. We also, the standards, when we look at what the accreditation standards and measures do for us, they provide us this framework, this priority set of values as such of what local, state, and tribal health departments should all be doing the same so that our members of our communities can be assured that that's what we're working on. But that the standards are truly our new framework or the roadmap for us to lead our health departments forward. We know that the value of committing to quality improvement is ongoing. It's not a one-time issue. It's a culture that goes on and on in our health departments, and Les is going to talk more about that. We also know that some of the benefits are increasing our public engagement. We've done community health assessments. We're pulling our communities in. We should be more and more. That's our job as the health departments. We're finding the anecdotal remarks from lots of health departments already being accredited that it has helped increase staff morale. Even though they're working really hard to make this more of their job, more workload maybe to make this happen, the morale is so much better as they're all focusing on something together, moving the agency forward as such. And then also, we're hoping and the potential for increasing funding in the future. We also know that some of the health departments already are using the accreditation application, the accreditation process, and the certificate as a way for more grants and to secure more money at the state or local level. So what's coming in the near future? We have coming version 1.5. We started with version 1. We are working on 1.5 with our new Standards and Measures Committee, hoping that those will be released sometime in January of 2014. So this is hot off the press almost. And they will become effective July of 2014. The special emphasis areas that you can see up here, more emphasis and a purposeful emphasis on equity and ethics. More emphasis on communication science and what that whole brings. We did not just pull out of the air these new emphasis areas. The input from our think tanks that was talked about in the session, if you were there before, the think tanks have purposefully given us fodder to know what we've maybe during version 1.0 maybe fell through the cracks or that we didn't necessarily have at the front of our process as we went. So communication, workforce, and informatics, those are some of our new emphasis areas in version 1.5. Now 1.5 is more of a little tweak rather than a huge big redo of everything. We've cleaned up some editorial changes, we've clarified a few things, and we've put in those new five emphasis areas, but it is not a total redo as such. So it will look the same, it will feel the same, we just have some more indicators. In September of 2013, so just 2 months past, the special newsletter that was done just to highlight these editorial changes, give everyone the opportunity to give input. We vetted this through our public health communities so that they could give input on what standards and measures potentially needed to be changed. So this was, again, an iterative event, and not an event, but a process that we went through to get input. Another new item that will be coming, and this will be for our accredited health departments, that we've developed that they will submit back to FAB during the five-year accreditation process a yearly annual report, something that keeps them keeping the process moving and giving them a reason to report back to FAB the work, the great work that they're doing, or maybe some tweaks that they needed to make in improving some of the stretches that they're making to fulfill those standards and measures even to a greater level in detail, and then also to show FAB and to have help with QI reports and QI initiatives that are going out there. So this is a new part rolling out in 2014 for accredited health departments. And of course, FAB, like always, will do the webinars and the conference calls and other methods of communicating with those accredited agencies so that they are fully aware of what's going on. So now let's talk about the fee. You all know there's a fee attached to accreditation. In January, FAB, proposed new fees and actually kept them the same as we had when we initially launched FAB a year prior to that. We will be getting ready to launch our new fees for 2014, and you will note, if you're up on the fees, that they, again, are consistent and the same as they were when we launched FAB 2 years ago. We're holding these at this time stable, and doing just some minor tweaks to the payment plan as such, but you will not see an increase in these fees for the next 1.5 version that's coming out. The fees will remain the same. Those fees that you see are a five-year fee, so they can be broken down or paid in one lump, but that's not the yearly fee. We'll have questions on that later if you choose. We get a lot of questions, so what does that fee cover? Why are we paying a fee, and what do I get from that? Huge amount of support, and you can see here, you are, once you pay that fee, assigned a special accreditation specialist through FAB. That's your one-on-one contact person back to FAB for the work that you'll be doing. You receive a site visit, You have a comprehensive review of all of your documentations, the operations, and how you fit the meet the standards. The standards are all reviewed. That's included in the fee. There's in-person training for your accreditation coordinator at FAB. That part is included in your fee. You then receive a subscription to EFAB, which is our electronic information system, so that you now are connected straight to FAB behind the curtain instead of just the website, so that your communication can go directly to your accreditation specialist, and you can then visit and communicate back and forth on those levels. And then, again, the annual quality improvement support. With that annual report comes an update on quality improvement, but FAB's going to help you with that. That's part of the fee that's paid, is that help and that support guiding you through QI issues if you need that. And then it also helps you contribute to the growing network of other accredited health departments. So the fee itself is very minimal compared to the huge benefit that is given. Another item that we are working on changing and updating is our logic model. So the logic model we designed and developed prior to when we launched. So this is the first update as well. So as we update and go to version 1.5, the logic model has been updated to reflect where FAB has been, no longer in developmental stages, no longer in the getting ready, but now actually in a maintenance stage. Helping health departments move forward and where we're maintaining our efforts. So some of the changes to this logic model include what we've just talked about, the inclusion of the annual report, the QI efforts. There's a little section in here about those that become accredited should help mentor others. Isn't that a great idea to actually put in our logic model to make sure that that's measured? Because now that they've been through that process, they can be our best coaches sometimes for others. And then again, now that we're maintaining, we will soon have health departments ready to be reaccredited, even though we're still recruiting for new ones all the time. So those are built in here. We have, again, the QI focus, and then we added language about disparities specifically. So I know you can't see this, or read it clearly, but those are the main changes to our logic model. If you were in our previous session, we also talked a little about our think tanks and how they do and have given input into where we need to be continuing to think about our standards and measures. And our think tanks continue. So for the next year, our think tank emphasis will be on emergency preparedness. I think Liza had mentioned that earlier. Chronic disease, we'll have another think tank with our chronic disease partners. The interface between public health and health care, we're going to have a think tank on what that should look like. Quality improvement at accreditation, vital records and health statistics, we'll have two think tanks on each of those, one on each of those. And then we're doing a think tank with the Army, because the Army is interested in how they, as part of their public health community, are looking at accreditation as well. So interesting, exciting times. Always coming forward, but when you can have other agencies, other entities looking at FAB and saying, whoa, we'd like to join that too, we know we're on the right track. So my final closing before we turn this over to Les is my action item to all of you. If you are interested in FAB and you're not actively engaged in a committee or some of that other work, we're looking always for site visitors. We do have some criteria. We'd really like 5 years of experience in a state, local, tribal health department. We would like some management or leadership experience that you may have had, a Bachelor of Science or higher degree in order to help us with that. But the learning experience of being a site visitor far outweighs the time that it's needed to do this. It is an amazing experience if you think that this would be a good fit for you, to learn what others are doing and to see how easily you could take this and help your health department back where you are at. So with that, I will close and we're going to switch it over to Les.